This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Angeline Tay. And it's Valentine's Day today, folks. And I bet many of you are scrambling last minute to put together a gift.
Or maybe some of you, like me, are rebelling over Valentine's Day and choose to ignore it because everything is just so expensive. You know, like Chalko was just saying that, one Malaysia dollar is 4.45 ringgit, you know? So no matter what camp you're on, we're here to give you the business side of the story. And you have to admit, Valentine's Day is a playground for marketers.
Yeah, and you may think so, but over the years, it seems like Valentine's Day shopping is decreasing, and according to the latest annual survey from the National Retail Federation and Prosper Insights and Analytics in the US, shopping on Valentine's Day is expected to drop about 8% this year. So love is apparently not in the air.
Yeah, and according to the NRF president and CEO Matthew Shea, Valentine's Day is that one day where millions show their loved ones the care regardless of their budget. But consumers are now smarter and are able to look for, you know, the best deals. Hence, retailers need to recognize that. And it looks like department stores in the US will have their hearts broken this year. They are the favorite shopping destination for Americans purchasing Valentine's Day present. And the average spending per person is expected to drop from $150 USD to $130 USD.
And discount stores are the second choice, and online shopping only comes in at third place for the US. Very surprising there. According to the survey, candy seems to be the most popular option. Greeting cards are second, and an evening out comes in third, and flowers only comes in fourth. It's kind of shows that, you know, people are actually kind of getting wiser about their gifts, and probably a lot of DIY gifts are happening, which is definitely a better way of showing your love.
And back here in Malaysia, chocolates are seemingly the top choice for gifts on Valentine's Day, so much so that apparently there's a short supply of sweet cocoa delights. According to Cocoa Raw co-founder Michael Wu, they've made deliveries of about 700 boxes of a dozen chocolate truffles, and this is more than the 100 boxes they sell on average each month.
Yeah, and over in Johor, apparently matching couple t-shirts with the wording such as his and hers and your soul and mate are bestsellers for Valentine's Day. Who would have thought, you know, that these would make a comeback?
You know what, Jeff, I'm happy to be anti-Valentine's because that matching shirt is just too much cheese here. But flowers are still something that people will buy despite, you know, the increase in price. I mean, just look at our office. I see at least at what, five bouquets of flowers on people's desk. And we actually did a quick phone call with Lin Xiao, who is the owner of Utama Florist at Uptown, just nearby the office, to ask if there really is a spike in flower sales. And this is what she had to say.
Normal day, maybe you sell like 2-3 bouquet. Some good days, maybe you sell like 10, you know, maximum lah, 10. I'm talking about a staff with 2 to 3 person, yeah, that kind of small operation. So on Valentine's Day, maybe you can hit as high as 20 to 30. It can go as high as like 10,000 a day instead of a normal day, 300 times more.
Crazy, right? That it can even go up to thousands of, you know, bouquets. And Lin even mentioned to us that it's not just the roses that are, you know, expensive during Valentine's Day, but even the fillers, like the yellow caspia leaves that they go with the bouquets and all, they go up in prices as well.
Yeah, while Valentine's Day makes for a good conversation or whether it's just all hype, and for all the silly love stories, it's also a peak time for scamming the broken hearts, the broken or lonely hearts, especially as we live in a digital age where online dating or love scams are already common. And over in Australia, romance scams cost victims more money than any other form of cheating. Wow. With those aged over 45, more likely to be stung, according to the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission.
Yeah, it's a digital world that we live in. And so, you know, social media like Facebook, it's hugely popular with scammers seeking to contact their targets. Last year, there were about 4,100 Australians who contacted the Commission's Scam Watch service to report on, you know, dating and romance scams, and more than 25 million Aussie dollars was lost. Jeez. This is the largest sum of any scam in Australia's history.
Yeah, romance scams are getting increasingly manipulative, and here are some tips to perhaps help you stay away from getting into trouble. So the first is, never provide your financial details or send funds to someone you have met online.
Yeah, and also you can actually run a Google image search, and it does sort of help you to check the authenticity of the photos as well.
Also be very very wary if you moved off a dating website, as scammers prefer to use private emails or SMS or WhatsApp instead of sticking to the online service to avoid detection.
Yeah, and I don't know how many times we need to say this, but just don't share intimate photos or use webcams in a setting that can leave you open to blackmail.
Mm, and just yesterday, the Malaysian and Singaporean police said to have arrested 27 suspects in a joint operation against a syndicate preying on people seeking partners.
Yeah, these suspects have cheated about 108 people in neighbouring countries of about 21.6 million ringgit in the whole of 2016. These guys have been scamming the lonely hearts by using, you know, powerful words and emotions. By using text messages only. They never do face-to-face or phone communication. So, you know, do be very careful this time around and do make sure that, you know, you do report to the authorities if you've ever encountered such people, and, you know, you don't let others get hurt, lah.
Yeah. Anyways, as you mentioned, we live in a digital world, and for those who are still playing the 2016 breakthrough, the global phenomenon game Pokemon Go, you might have already noticed some changes as pink creatures now populate the game in honor of Valentine's Day. And you have until 3 a.m. tomorrow to double the amount of candy you can earn for catching, hatching, and transferring Pokemon. There's also a whole bunch of new characters and stuff, so if you're a forgotten fan, then maybe it's time to make a short visit of Pokemon Go to keep you company during Valentine's Day.
Yeah, and we'll take a short break. But honestly, if you're looking for like a last-minute gift idea, how about getting like an air ticket to Hawaii on AirAsia X, because they now operate 4 weekly flights from Kuala Lumpur to Honolulu, Hawaii via Osaka. It's starting on June 28th. Promotional fares are now from 499 ringgit for bookings made between, you know, now until like the 26th of February for the travel periods from June 28th till February 6th of 2018. The premium flatbed option starts at 2,999 ringgit. So I guess, you know, what better way to show your appreciation to your loved one by getting them a trip to Hawaii on your anniversary or something way in advance, you know? Mm. That will be quite cool, right?
Yeah, and we'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
And you're still with me, Jeff and Angie, on the Enterprise Biz Bites. We're giggling slightly. There's a reason to this.
Yeah, you know it's two single people on air when we play songs like Love Hurts from Nazareth on Valentine's Day.
Exactly. Now, that song is dedicated to all those, you know, broken or lonely hearts out there. You know, stay strong. Come on. You know, it's just one day you could get through this. I'm with you. Anyways, since it's Valentine's Day, you know, we got to talk about the most important part of the day, which is sales, shopping, and premium gifts.
Yeah, actually, if you go to the premium outlets website right now, there's a huge Valentine's Day ad playing on the top banner.
Exactly. Anyways, we're getting the second premium outlet store here in Malaysia, and it's expected to open very soon in the second quarter of 2017, way up in Genting Highlands. And it will be a 50-50 joint venture between Genting Plantations Berhad and also Premium Outlets, which is the outlet divisions for the Simon Property Group. It's the same Genting Simon that opened up Johor Premium Outlets in 2011, which was the first premium outlet center in Malaysia as well as Southeast Asia.
Yeah, Premium Outlets has been pretty successful around the world as good retail destinations, and the upcoming one is expected to draw even more local and international shoppers to Genting Highlands, which already gets about 20 million visitors every year.
I've not been to the Johor one, but I've been to the Mitsui Outlet Park in Sepang, and I'm really looking forward. If this is in Genting, this is going to be so good. Such a great trip to go up anyways. And it's going to have about 150 designers and brand name store, which is more than what the outlet in Johor has. And they also plan to offer about 25 to 65 percent of savings daily. So it's not really a bad selling point.
Yeah, there, I hope they stick to it. Because usually when they say, like, you know, you get savings, but they hike up the price. You never know.
Mm.
But this will also be a key component in the Genting Integrated Tourism Plan. It basically shows how the private sector is participating under the Economic Transformation Program, as well as serving as a catalyst for the tourism industry in the East Coast Economic Region.
Yeah, what's interesting is actually that, you know, they will be hiring up to fill up about 1,500 job vacancies, such as sales associates, senior sales associates, sales supervisors, assistant store managers, and also store managers.
Yeah, and they're having walk-in interviews as well.
Yeah, so they're doing the walk-in interview sessions in collaboration with some of their brand partners like Adidas, Beauty Sense, Brooks Brothers, Calvin Klein Jeans, Guess, Hugo Boss, and the list goes on and on and on.
I think Polo, Ralph Lauren, and Samsonite is in there as well. Anyway, they're also hiring for their F&B stores, so candidates interested in that line can apply for Absolute Thai, Starbucks Coffee, Baskin Robbins, Dome Cafe, and the list goes on there as well.
Yeah, do take note that these interviews will be held at the Wawasan 2020 Grand Ballroom of Awana Genting Highlands Golf and Country Resort from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. It's actually started yesterday and it will end tomorrow, the Wednesday. You can obviously just go online, check online. You got to bring a few stuff along with you. You got to bring your identity card, resume, and relevant documents, and also certificates and all those kind of stuff.
And it's great to see things like this making jobs available. But I really do wonder how many Malaysians are actually going to, you know, Apple compared to foreigners. I guess that's a discussion for another day.
Yeah. Anyways, back to the same thread of being premium. Airbnb is expected to complete the acquisitions of Luxury Retreats, a Canadian startup that replicates Airbnb's business model, but it's for high-end homes. And the deal is expected to be valued around $200 million in cash and also stock offerings.
Yeah, Luxury Retreats has more than 4,000 properties in its listing, including Richard Branson's Island and Francis Ford Coppola's Villa. And on top of the focus on high-end luxury rentals, the platform also offers a concierge service for its guests, offering them the ability to book private bartenders, chefs, masseuses, and the like. And as if Richard Branson could care for more income by renting out his island.
Yeah, actually, Airbnb is trying out something similar with Airbnb Trips. It's a platform to connect guests with local tourism services that launched late last year.
So this move by Airbnb would appear to have a threefold purpose. First, the home sharing startup wants to expand its user base, and this acquisition would capture a high value segment. So luxury renters have the available resources to travel more often and book more expensive properties, which provide, you know, greater margins.
Yeah, so Luxury Retreats is already profitable, and the boost in marginal revenues will help to secure and also bolster Airbnb's profitability, which is a rather recent development. So shoring up the profits and meeting expectations will be crucial for when the company goes public, which some are speculating it could actually happen this year.
And second, Airbnb is simply looking to move upstream and consolidate the market for vacation rentals. Purchasing Luxury Retreats will boost its market share substantially in terms of dollar spent, preventing startups from disrupting its success so far and making it increasingly difficult for established hotel chains to save themselves from Airbnb's eventual monopoly over travel. Yeah, you heard me right. Monopoly of the travel space.
Finally, this purchase could be seen as Airbnb taking a swipe at Priceline, which has owned Booking.com for more than a decade, and smaller other sites as well. And Expedia, whose $3.9 billion acquisition of the Airbnb competitor HomeAway took a little more than just a year ago.
Yeah, the two online travel agencies have made significant moves to gain a foothold in the home rental market in order to combat Airbnb's rise. But it looks like a long, long slog if they want to take down a $30 billion startup. So their growth rates aren't anywhere close to Airbnb's. And Expedia even missed its profitability expectation due to pumping money into HomeAway.
Yeah, but the real losers from these acquisitions are hotels. More research shows that the hotels are forced to compete with an established Airbnb presence by lowering the prices, which naturally will hurt their revenue.
Yeah, because hotels have huge overhead costs to handle as opposed to Airbnb's near zero marginal costs, and operate with an archaic franchise model designed to the heavy lifting of the hotel owners. As their market share decreases and profitability is increasingly threatened, these hotel owners will put more pressure on the chains, thing like what Marriott and Hilton, to deliver value.
Yeah, so Airbnb's acquisition of luxury rentals specifically bodes poorly for the luxury hotels. The opportunity to stay in an appropriately staffed villa that feels like a home offers a much more appeal to, you know, wealthy travelers than like a standard hotel.
Yeah, and since it's Valentine's Day, it seems like two nights in Copenhagen studio apartment just aren't going to cut it anymore.
Oh, well. Anyways, we'll go for a short break, and when we come back, we'll have a roundup of today's story. This is the Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9. And you're back with me, Jeff and Angie, on Enterprise Biz Bytes. We're about to wrap up the show, but before we do, a quick recap of the stories we've covered today, starting off with how Valentine's Day doesn't seem so fashionable anymore.
Yeah, so our first story was how Valentine's Day spending is expected to drop by 7% this year. And if you're wondering what most Malaysians purchase for their Valentine's, it's chocolates. And you can't go wrong with chocolates.
Yeah, and then we talked about Malaysia's second premium outlet that's coming to Genting. It's a collaboration between Genting Plantations and also Premium Outlets, and it's set to open between April and June this year. They're also doing like a walk-in interviews for about 1,500 vacancies. So yeah, good stuff for, you know, good initiative that they're doing this because more jobs are available.
Mm. And finally, Airbnb is looking to seal a $200 million deal to buy over Luxury Retreat, which is a Canadian startup that does exactly what Airbnb does, just using high-end homes. Mm.
If you've missed any parts of this interview, you know the drill. Just look for the Enterprise Biz Bytes podcast on the website bfm.my, or better yet, you can search it on the BFM mobile app, or it's now available on the App Store and on Google Play. All the links to the stories that we covered today will be on the podcast page as well. So it's also for your reading or maybe stalking pleasure.
Mm. Mm. The Breakfast Grill replay is up next. This morning, Melissa Idris spoke to the founder of the Good Country Index, Simon and Holt, on how he founded this index and what he hopes to accomplish from it.
Yeah, and this is a really interesting one because the Good Country Index actually tracks how each country contributes to the greater good of humanity and what each nation is doing for the planet. It's a whole different way to look at how a country's progress can be measured.
It's awesome stuff, though. Yeah. And that's coming up in a few minutes at the 12:30 p.m., taking us into the Tech Talk Hour.
All right, we're signing off for the Enterprise Biz Bytes. We'll be back at the same time, same place tomorrow. From me, Jeff Sandu, together with Angeline Tay. Happy Valentine's Day, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.